Inside Jeremy and Kentucky here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate. Send the fundage that you know you need to send. This is the Saturday morning of free speech where I'm still trying to clean the gin out of my head from last night and making bacon and hash browns and drinking some black coffee. And free speech can like settle right up here and you can talk about whatever you want on this Saturday morning. We're pre-recording this with Dr. Patrick Slattery. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for accommodating my schedule. I'm going on a white boy summer road trip, so we'll see what happens with that.
Yes, white boy summer. It's a hot white boy summer. I've been painting out in this stuff outside, and like the index hit over 100 yesterday.
Yeah, I was doing some outdoor painting myself. I'm not a professional. I'm trying very, very carefully to keep as what was I painting? I'm painting some shelves, and I was painting outdoors, and I'm trying very carefully to keep the paint off my driveway. And so I've spread out, you know, rags and papers and everything, and I do a good job. And then I've got my paintbrush, and I got it sticking in a little can of turpentine or whatever, and I leave it there, and then the wind blows it over and everything got on my spilled onto my driveway anyway. So
I'm trying to just not sweat into the paint, like drops of sweat falling into the paint and thinning it down. That's my problem.
One thing worse than dropping sweat droplets into the paint, and that's dropping your cell phone into the paint. I've done that.
It's a good time.
It's not easy to clean that stuff out of the various jacks.
Well, we got some news. We're doing a weekend recording, so we might get news cucked on a few things, but it's going to be kind of a general, you know, just kind of going through what's been going on, what's hot in the news. Two things that I think we were going to touch on is the RFK comments about the deadly coronavirus, and then also AMC, some movie theaters are supposedly boycotting The Sound of Freedom. And I wanted to get your take on that whole documentary on human trafficking regarding children. But so what about the RFK stuff? So he's saying that COVID was genetically engineered and that it leaves out Jews and targets blacks and whites?
He didn't quite go that far, but he did say that I think he said that that whites and blacks have been harder hit by it than Jews and Chinamen. And I think he also said that there's, you know, the United States has funded bio weapons labs, you know, around the world. Obviously, Victoria Nuland talked about the ones that had been in the Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And I think he is being accused of some sort of anti-Semitism, which that's somebody being accused of anti-Semitism. Dr. Duke is very excited by all of this, and he'll be talking about this Monday show. I don't know if I'll be on with him or not, but he's saying, well, remember a 1997 or 96 paper that was published in Israel saying, I guess it was the Defense of the Realm or Protecting the Realm, the paper that was authored by Richard Perl and Donald Wormser and Douglas Faith. I believe they were the three. And they talked about the attractiveness of biological weapons that could be targeted at certain ethnic groups. And then I think this is something that Dr. Duke will be talking about. I think that there was some revelation in 1999 or 2001 or something like that, that the Israelis were actually actively doing research like that. And of course, you know, there are genes that are common in some population groups and not common in others. And so and we know that some ethnic groups are more vulnerable to certain pathogens than others.
And medications. I remember hearing that during the Korean War, like the blacks soldiers, this is the first time blacks and whites were integrated, you know, in the army. And black soldiers could not take certain medicines to prevent the disease you get from mosquitoes. There was a certain medicine, malaria. Yeah, there was a certain medicine, hydrochloroquine, I think was the name of it, and the blacks couldn't take it.
Yeah, hydroxychloroquine, is that what it's called?
I think that's what it is.
And I took that when I tested positive for the deadly coronavirus. I don't know. I say when I tested positive, I'm not saying when I had it or not. I'm rather agnostic about that, whether I had it or not. But I had home test kits, and last summer, right after my White Boy Summer road trip, I was going to be going over to do a little handyman work for an elderly friend of mine, a woman who was overweight and old and very paranoid about the coronavirus. And I had a hoarse voice one day, and I thought, well, I would have to explain this hoarse voice, and I don't want the woman to be alarmed, so I'm going to take one of these home tests. So I take the home test, and it was just barely kind of positive. And I thought, oh, well, I'll call her up, and I'll just tell her, you know, that I tested positive. And so I did, and she said, okay, well, then don't come over, which is what I was expecting. And so then a day or two later, the symptoms were about the same, very, very mild, just a hoarse voice. And everything started smelling like my friend Donnie's cigars, which was kind of weird. Even I opened up vinegar and sniffed the vinegar and it smelled like Donnie's cigars. And so I took another test and it was clearly positive. So I had, I think I had three positive tests in 5 days, and then the symptoms went away. And on day number six or seven, I took it again, and it was all clear. So whatever that means, I had something. Was it the deadly coronavirus? Was it something else? Was it a cold? Was it a mild flu? I don't know. But why am I even mentioning this? I had the deadly coronavirus.
We were talking about, the virus being engineered to target racial groups and how that's a thing because, you know, we know that blacks can't take certain medications that whites can take. Oh, we found that out.
Right.
Then also, you know, blacks don't absorb vitamin D from the sun like whites do. So they have a low vitamin D.
When I was testing positive for the deadly coronavirus, I had some hydroxychloroquine and some ivermectin on hand. And then David Duke told me to take a bunch of vitamin D3 and something else that I was able to get at a store. And so I took that whole regimen. Did it help or not? I don't know. I don't know what would have happened without it. I've got family members who tested positive and were just fine without even taking anything. So who knows?
Well, we were talking about this 3 years ago, and maybe I might pull up some of the old recordings and play them on my show next week of you and I trying to figure out what this was and what direction it was going. And, you know, of course, I was looking into the fact that it could have been engineered and maybe targeting certain groups. We discussed all of this, you know, because you had that Jew from Harvard that was a professor in the Wuhan lab, Charles. Oh, man, what was his last name? I should have looked it up before I even said it. But he got
Steinberg-Skiewicz, I think that was his
name. Anyway, that wasn't who it was. I'll pull it up in a minute. But he was basically arrested. He was taking grant money and money from the Chinese government. and not disclosing the money that he was getting from the Chinese government. And they indicted him on that. At any rate, he was a Jewish professor from Harvard. And, you know, that's sort of one of the people that caught my eye, is thinking, you know, I wonder if there's something going on here, you know, with Jewish power and this Wuhan thing. But at any rate, I mean, it's not like far-fetched. It's not beyond the pale to think that you could have a disease that targets someone genetically. I mean, I suppose that's a thing. I mean, what are all these biological warfare labs doing in Ukraine? You know, what was that all about? And then I've even heard people talk about how it's fascinating to them that Israel is one of the highest vaccinated countries. You know, they really went for the vax. And so the theory is out there that maybe there's some saline solutions or that it affects Jews differently. I don't know about all that.
Okay, so one of the things that Dr. Duke, who called just before we started recording, one of the things he's excited about was that I guess a few days ago there was some news coming out that there were for one of the vaccines, whether maybe it was a Pfizer one, there was like they had like three different color labels or something, and they weren't necessarily exactly the same. They were different, like different batches or something. Now, inside the United States, if you saw the coronavirus vaccines being administered, there's no way that you could keep Jews from getting the green batch, only give them the yellow batch and give whites and blacks the green batch. There's no way you could do it because people were just walking into Walmart and saying, "I want to get vaxxed." I mean, they were doing that, and there's no way that you could have all of the Walmart and Walgreens and all these pharmacists around the country in on the plot. I mean, that's couldn't happen. But what you could have is, you know, the Pfizer shipping off to Israel. I mean, you could have Israel be all on one type of batch. You could, because Israel's already self-segregated, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there could be something there.
And I have family members and friends, unfortunately, that went out and took the deadly vax, you know, at least the first round, and then they didn't take any more, but it didn't affect them at all. I mean, they're, you know, one of them is a boomer. He's like 72, but he's in excellent health, and he never did have any reaction to it. So, I mean, number one, different people may react differently to it. Number two, it may not all be the same vax. I mean, there could be a lot of saline solutions for whatever reason. You know, I can't see how it would cause blood clotting in a 30-year-old in one case and then not even affect a 72-year-old at all. You know, that's just kind of weird.
It's not that weird. I mean, there are people who chain smoke cigarettes or smoke heavily and live to be in their 80s or 90s, and they're, you know, there are people who drink, there are people who are obese and live long periods of time. I mean, there are all sorts of things that people do that aren't healthy. And, you know, some statistically, they're less likely to live long, or statistically, they're more likely to develop certain symptoms. But that just means they're more likely to. It doesn't necessarily mean they will.
That's true. I mean, I've inherited genetically. I can drink a lot as a legit potato smasher and whiskey guzzler. You know, the amounts that I could drink in one setting would like kill normal people. But yet I'm just fine, you know.
Okay. Anyway, so this has only happened to me like maybe two or three times in the past. We record this. And something happened, and I probably accidentally touched the stop record button. And so the last
20 I should minutes, record it too.
Well, we're recording. We're recording now. But the last 20 minutes of brilliant content has gone into the ether. And had I already talked about having the coronavirus? Supposedly, was that before or after? I can't remember. All that stuff about China is after. I mean, so
yeah.
Well, anyway, this we're recording now, and this is all going into the show. You know, this is the thing. We do this week after week, and creating content can be fun, but it's also a lot of work.
Well, it just consumes a lot of time.
And it consumes time.
Yeah. Just by the way, let's keep this as part of content too. We were talking about how people are different genetically, and how, you know, in my family, you know, there's people with alcoholism, definitely. But overall, like, genetically, I have a high tolerance for alcohol, whereas a lot of people, you know, probably don't. And so that was getting back to the point where RFK was talking about how he thinks the coronavirus is genetically engineered. And that's not far-fetched. And I don't know if we brought it up or not, but...
Yeah, it's plausible. I don't know if he was actively saying that's what he thought, or just saying that it was, like, just kind of implying it indirectly. Yeah. I'm not quite sure.
And so, you know, I brought up how blacks are different genetically. We found out in the Korean War, when you had integration of the armed forces, that blacks could not take hydroxychloroquine, which was a medicine against malaria, that prevented malaria, and they had some sort of a reaction to it, and they had to have different treatments. So, you know, there are different genetic qualities in these ethnic groups. Blacks also don't absorb vitamin D like whites do. They tend to be affected more by flus and all of these different sicknesses. So I remember bringing that up.
I got the whole story that I told about after my white boy summer supposedly contracting the testing positive for the deadly coronavirus. And people out there might be saying, why would you test for it? Well, I was going to do some handyman favors for a elderly lady in my neighborhood. And I know she's overweight and old, and she was worried about the coronavirus. She'd had it or had been hospitalized or something, so she was all paranoid. And the morning I was going to go over there, I was hoarse. And so I thought, well, I'm obviously hoarse, so I'll take one of these tests I had lying around. I had tests lying around. We'd gotten tests early on, and they were just sitting there. So I took the test, and it showed positive. And so I called her up, and she said, don't come over. And, you know, all I had was a hoarse voice, and the only other symptom was everything smelling like cigars. My friend's cigars.
Right. So
I had like two more. I was testing every other day, and I tested positive a couple more times, and then like the hoarseness went away. Things still smell like cigars, but whatever, I don't care that much. And so then I tested again, and it was negative, so whatever. I tested positive for whatever the test is testing for.
Right.
Whatever that is.
I could see that.
Yeah, I did take hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin the whole time, plus vitamin D and something else that David Duke recommended. And I didn't have any trouble, but I had a family member recently who tested positive, had mild symptoms, didn't take anything, and was just fine. So...
Well, yeah, I mean, affecting different people. I mean, we had Bible school at church in July of 2020. And I'm alone. Skin, yeah, chill me to the bone.
Democrats want to regulate the Supreme Court. I'm Peter Serafine with another Liberty Minute. So Democrat lawmakers want to regulate the Supreme Court, a separate and equal branch of government. As a constitutional originalist, I take issue with this concept as a whole, but as a human being with a little common sense, I take issue with the particulars. The U.S. Constitution gave Congress the authority to establish any necessary courts beneath the Supreme Court, but that's where congressional authority ends. The Senate Judiciary's Subcommittee on Federal Courts Oversight, Agency Action, and Federal Rights wants to mandate that justices recuse themselves if they have a financial connection to the case. Using that same logic, no member of Congress should ever be allowed to vote on any bill that they have a financial connection to. But if that were to happen, then how would Congress maintain their ability to become millionaires at a rate over 10 times higher than the rest of the population? Congress, regulate yourselves effectively, then maybe we can talk about allowing you to assume power over the only branch of government that ever keeps you in check at all. And if you own firearms, you need carry insurance. Get the most affordable carry insurance on the market, according to Pew Pew Tactical, and save 10% with the code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com. Until next time, see this Hashem Parabellum.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You turn.
Tested positive, had mild symptoms, didn't take anything, and was just fine. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, affecting different people. I mean, we had Bible school at church in July of 2020. We totally blew the rules out the window and just had it anyway. Mm-hmm. And there's six people that absolutely had to go test. And two of them were like way overweight, like 200-300 pound guys. They got really sick for 2 weeks. But then one young female tested positive, didn't have a symptom at all. I think I had a fever for about 2 hours, and I poured some gin in my green tea and knocked that fever out, went to work, and was just fine. You know, by the end of the day, I was great. But then other people in my family, after Thanksgiving dinner, they got really sick and did the loss of smell and taste thing. But I was fine. It did. Just different people are affected differently. Probably then the vaccines are similar. Whatever these vaccines are, these clot shots, it can clot up a 20-year-old and give them myocarditis in one case. But then, like, another family member of mine who's a 72-year-old boomer, he took the shot, only one shot. He didn't do the series. And he's nothing's wrong. It didn't affect him at all. He's in perfect health. It's just weird. But you know, back to this thing of it all could be engineered. You know, you and I were kicking this around. I don't know if we mentioned Charles Lieber in the earlier recording, but Lieber was a Harvard professor, a Jew that worked at Wuhan, and they indicted him for taking money from the Chinese government and not disclosing it to the U.S. government, from whom he was getting grants from. He was sentenced back in April. He's got to pay like $50,000 fine and all kinds of restitution. They really came down on this guy. And it was my theory, you know, 3 years ago that Lieber was maybe a point man in the whole operation that was going on in Wuhan, if there was an operation, the alleged operation, let's put it like that. But for whatever reason, they took this guy down and he didn't get the Jew treatment. So maybe he said something he wasn't supposed to. Maybe he knew too much? I don't know. Well, what's your take real quick on Charles Lieber? I forgot what we said about him in the last one.
So I, you know, regarding the corona apocalypse and everything, I don't like, there's a lot of things that are plausible, a lot of explanations that are plausible. I don't have one that I even maybe have 50% confidence in, but the one I have the most, the one that's my leading hypothesis, even if I don't have 50% confidence, is that if this was either engineered or released, it would have been by the U.S. military, probably military, released it in China. Because, you know, you have the whole thing about these people from Fort Detrick, Maryland, where they do this type of research, who had been participating in the autumn of – in late 2019 in these military exercises, not like war games, but kind of like Olympic games in China, where they're having, you know, some friendly competition. It was in Wuhan, China. They were there. Some of them came down with like malaria type symptoms and presumably were treated with hydroxychloroquine. But the thing is, if you wanted to, here's the scenario, the way I see it as most likely. You had people like Fauci and whatnot who would want to have a worldwide pandemic. They wouldn't want it to be blamed on them. They know that in Wuhan, there's a laboratory that does this kind of genetic research on viruses. They know it's there because they fund at least a little bit of the research there, so they know it's there. And so if they have their own bioweapon or confusion weapon and they release it in Wuhan, well, that gives them great deniability. It's going to look like a lab leak. But the reason I don't think it's a lab leak is because the Chinese didn't seem to know what the hell it was. And not just when it happened, but they as late as a year ago, they were still doing these zero COVID policy with massive lockdowns. I don't think they really had a grip on it. If this was something they had developed themselves, they would know what it is. They would know that if they had intended it as a real bioweapon, they would know that it's a dud of a bioweapon. Or if they had intended it as a confusion weapon, why would they be doing all of this self-flagellation? So none of that made sense. But if it had been released and they didn't know what it was, they might be freaked out. And I think a lot of people around the world were freaked out. And I think a lot of people who doubted the seriousness of the corona apocalypse, I think that they weren't giving enough credence to the idea that governments around the world could genuinely be freaked out. I think there's a tendency to think everybody was in on it, but I think a lot of them were just freaked out.
I'll have to push back some. I mean, I think there was a centralized planning. Of course, not every government official and every person could be on it. But there was some centralized planning. I mean, think about all the brainwashing phrases that went out there. We're all in this together. Stay home, mm-hmm. save lives. I mean, the TikTok nurses, there was just all this weird stuff where they're messing with our heads. Somebody sat down. There's no one taking your place since you've been gone.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Memory, your landline is burning holes. Recover the damage, bring it all home. Follow the blues just like a summer song. Instead of
stay home, save lives. I mean, the TikTok nurses, there's just all this weird stuff where they're messing with our heads. Somebody sat down and did some sort of storyboard on this. I mean, that's what I'm looking at in retrospect. It's what I thought 3 years ago. I think it even more now. And for what purpose? To bring everybody to the point where they build this infrastructure where you have to put something in your body in order to function. All right, that's number one purpose. Number two, it's right there in the United Nations websites. You can pull it up and read that they want to depopulate the globe. Sustainability, right? That's the whole thing. This is not sustainable. You have the whole green movement. The COVID and the green movement are all intertwined. You know, and like I think there's a legitimate environmental problem here. I think that the industrialization of the globe in the last 120 years has caused some problems that need to be addressed. So I'm not throwing that out. But what I'm saying is it's being used to crack down on the globe and for a reason for depopulation. They openly admit this on UN websites. It's not like a conspiracy or something weird. It's not tinfoil hat stuff. And so what better way to control the population than through a decade of vaccines that will, harm women's fertility and sterilize people. So I don't think any of that I just said is tinfoil hat or way too far out there. And it seems to be what they've done in the last 3 years.
Okay. So here's the question then. So, cause what I proposed, and like I say, there's a variety of explanations that I think are plausible. And the one I'm proposing, I'm not necessarily even 50% confident in. I'm just more confident in it than I am in any of these others. And what I proposed, you would have somebody, Fauci very likely would be one of those somebody's, but you had people who would have been planning to release this in China for reasons. I said a confusion weapon, not even so much a biological weapon, but a confusion weapon. Whatever, you know, Ron Unz thinks that it was intended. It was released in China and in Iran and was intended to wipe out a lot of people. I don't know, you know, maybe it was intended just to be another something along the lines of the bird flu or SARS, something along those lines. But that, you know, now they're prepared to freak people out. But here's the thing. So you mentioned a storyboard, right? Like people with a storyboard. All right. So how many people have to be in on that? That's kind of the question. How many you can have a storyboard? How many people are in on it? You could have the storyboard be at the at Fauci's lab in Fort Detrick and Chapel Hill, and a relatively small number of people involved with their objectives. And you mentioned the TikTok nurses. Well, the TikTok nurses or the people who organize the TikTok nurses, does that have to be pre-planned out, or is that just kind of like a natural something that they would do spontaneously because all of a sudden they're getting all of this
praise?
Excuse me?
Yeah, they're getting all this praise, right?
Yeah, praise, the status, they're getting all this praise. And, these people, nurses at hospitals and orderlies and whatnot, a lot of these jobs aren't even very good jobs. And they're not necessarily high status jobs. And all of a sudden they're heroes and maybe they're just going with the flow. And then you also, the thing is, you could have one big storyboard, or you could have a storyboard that's big enough and covers enough policies for Fauci and parts of the military and whatnot to initiate this, and then others piggyback on it. So, for instance, the whole fake election thing, did that have to be planned out years in advance, or could that have been opportunistic people piggybacking on a artificial crisis? Well, we got a perfectly good crisis. Let's not let it go to waste. And yeah. I don't know. I'm not saying but I just see the possibility that you had you might not have had one big plan. You might have had an initial plan and then a few other groups taking advantage of it. And then the other thing I'm saying is that to the extent there was planning, the circle of people doing the planning could be a lot smaller than most people suspect. And a lot of people, even governments of major countries like Russia or Japan wherever, India, they could be doing a lot of monkey see, monkey do, a lot of imitation, because they're freaked out and don't know what's going on. That's what I'm saying.
So what you're describing is what I would call the hashtag effect, where something starts trending, on social media and people just roll with it. I mean, you did see a lot of uniform behavior. Like, think about how the medical establishment just threw practicing medicine right out the window. So people get sick and you're not going to treat them with antibiotics. You know, think about the ludicrousy of that. Like, definitely there was some message that went out to the various hospitals and doctors, from the National Institute of Health, and telling them that they couldn't treat people mm-hmm. with COVID. Think about that, Patrick. How crazy is that? When in the history of medicine has that ever happened? Someone gets sick and you don't treat them? You don't practice medicine? You're told not just to leave them alone? I mean, it's stuff like that that just makes me think, man, so many people were on the same page. Well, think about the BLM stuff, too, that followed that. It was like a double whammy. It was like a double punch,
And I think so. The BLM stuff started in Memorial Day weekend, so the last weekend of May. The COVID stuff, I guess our lockdowns really started in March. I mean, February, there was kind of like a drumbeat. And, you're looking around the world and there was some discussion, but things like the shutdowns really started in March. And things happened really fast. And there were huge hunks of the medical establishment
that objected to this. There's the CDC, and you had a lot of like guidelines that were issued really fast, and the they were very, very what's the word for it? Heavy-handed about implementing them. So you had back in maybe late March or April, you had people like John Ioannidis, from Stanford University, real prominent guy. You had the Newt Witkowski, who had the German accent from Rockefeller University. You had Scott Atlas. You had a lot of very prominent people who very early on were saying, this isn't how we do medicine. But I think what may have happened, I'm not 100% sure of anything, but I think what may have happened is that really fast there was, the scales were tipped with the CDC guidance, with some of the big states and their health departments, and with the censorship regimes of social media, which was huge because they got stuff taken down. And I think the scales were tipped really fast in one direction, and then a lot of the people, the bulk of the people in the medical establishment, either through, like, I think the low level people, because they got all this status, and then the smart, like the doctors, the specialists, because they saw which way the wind was blowing, because they thought, well, I don't agree with this, but I'll lose my career, or hospital administrators seeing like the potential for big bucks by putting people on ventilators and whatnot, or by testing corpses. I think there was a variety of things, and it went that way. And then, of course, you just had a summer of chaos.
That's what I mean. I mean, somebody sat down and thought this up, and like, look, how do we get the medical establishment on board? What are the incentives? Here's the incentives. I mean, there's got to be some level of planning. I mean, it's just hard to not think about all the politicians. Remember when Ted Cruz tested positive, and it made headlines, and he's like, I'm going to go quarantine now for 6 weeks. Wasn't that the initial quarantine? I forgot what it was. Whatever it was, Ted Cruz like tested positive, and all these different people in Congress tested positive. It was so fake. I don't know. But let's not get away from the original point, because we could go back and forth all day on this. I think RFK is maybe insinuating that China is in on it. Is he going the anti-China route?
From what I read, China was more of an afterthought. I didn't see his statement. I didn't hear him make his statement in his quivery voice. I just read about it. And I read it in the Daily Stormer. David Duke read it in the New York Post. And of course, the Jews are flipping their lids because he's talking about Jews. And you're not allowed to do that. I don't know if he was really emphasizing that it was Jews and the Chinese were just an afterthought. And maybe I'm getting that impression because it's being filtered through a Jewish media that's in freakout mode about him talking about Jews, or if he was really if he was giving equal emphasis to both. I really don't know.
Maybe his handlers were throwing some red meat to the white nationalists, doing a little dog whistling. I'm so conspiratorial.
With him, see, I don't know. The only person I know who is working for him is Denis Kucinich, who's his campaign manager. And Denis Kucinich is based in certain ways, at least. I mean, he was very anti-war. He was the real legitimate anti-war presidential candidate that the Democrats had in the aughts. And I've met him before. I've met his wife, who's very, very young and very tall and very hot. And his wife, it was like, met him because she was going around Congress trying to find congressmen to abolish the Federal Reserve. I mean, she comes from that. She's British, but she comes from that perspective. And when Trump was elected, Denis Kucinich he and I guess Tulsi Gabbard were the only people from the Democratic Party who were willing to give Trump a chance. Saying, look, there's there's certain things that we agree with him on. Let's see what we can get out of it. So Kucinich, I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to see, and we'll have to see what the repercussions are, because to say something like if you're saying Jews are getting a different vaccine, or if you're saying Jews got a phone call on 9/11 or anything like that, that's kind of crossing a Rubicon. Can he come back from that? You know?
Well, I mean, you had Stephen Miller, you know, writing Trump speeches. I mean, that Jew was based. He said the right things. He said the things that would catch the ear of the people that are pro-white. You know, it's not beyond the pale.
But he says something that is so close to Jewish power. To say that Jews are getting a different vaccine.
If you remember Trump's last speech and one of those memes he put out, like right around the time that Hillary, when was it? Hillary did her alt-right speech, which featured Don Adbo. That was in response to Trump put something out with the Star of David on it, and like, you know, the chick in charge of the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen, and some different Jewish oligarchs, and it's like that was a huge dog whistle. I mean, he didn't say Jewish power, but he might as well have.
And there was a Star of David on there. I guess it was they were using. Trump was saying, "Oh, those are sheriff badges," but they were six-pointed stars.
I mean, that was Stephen Miller, dude. Trump didn't think that up.
Yes. Okay. I suppose so. I suppose anything like that in August or September 2016, Steve Miller would have been aware of that. I suppose you're right there.
For sure. But back to the original then. I mean, so RFK, you know, he's saying this controversial statement. It there's some plausible deniability there, because he could be like, "Oh, I totally meant that it was, you know, China. I'm not talking against Jews." So there's that. And we're coming up to the end of the show. We've got a few minutes left.
No, we got another 7 minutes or so.
Oh, good. I wanted to get into this whole thing of China controlling the globe, and, you know, what their motivation is and all of that. That's kind of where we had went
really,
to
really
in the last
content that we lost. Yeah, that was excellent. Well, we recorded.
I was just talking about how, you know, like, I'm not in the camp that China's dominated by Jews, but I do see China financially wanting to dominate, because they're on this high. They've been on for a couple of decades, and probably they just want more. You see this in the Belt and Road Initiative, where control of that greater Israel area, and even in the Ukraine area, I mean, that's a key area to controlling the land route of trade between the East and the West. It's been a key area through history. Alexander the Great saw it. He knew it. When he died, his four generals, you know, took over the greater Israel area. And then you had Antiochus Epiphanes, a Greek general that fought the other generals trying to maintain control of it himself and trying to pull it all under his power. But the point is that's a strategic area. I think there's also a natural alliance, a geopolitical alliance, that should be had between Russia and Europe. It's something that the West has tried to prevent for over 100 years now. Russia and Europe should be allied and have a natural land, geopolitical alliance, where they should be able to trade back and forth. And if that happens, the West is totally cut out. So you can see why Jewish power in the West has never wanted that alliance to take place. So I'm not going on the page of Russia and China wanting to dominate the globe, but I do see them wanting to dominate Eurasia. If for no other reason, because the West has saber-rattled at them for so long that the West can't be trusted anymore. Let me get your thoughts on that and try to recreate that conversation that we got cut out last time.
Well, yeah, and one thing that we weren't talking about last time, like, Russia's getting cut out of Europe, right? And I think, like, Yeltsin probably just wanted Russia to be a normal European country. I'm no fan of Yeltsin or whatever, but Russia has been thoroughly cut out of Europe. So what else are they going to do? So the Chinese are welcoming them, and now you're getting this giant, the entire continent of Asia plus, you know, European Russia are being united in this big economic block. And the Chinese, like I was saying in what got erased, the Chinese, I don't think the Chinese, if they're studying the history of the past couple hundred years.
Sometimes when your hopes have all been shattered, there's nowhere to turn. You wonder how you keep going. Think of all the things that really matter, and the chances you
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's seven herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And the Chinese, like I was saying in what got erased, the Chinese, I don't think the Chinese, if they're studying the history of the past couple of hundred years or whatever, and they had a bad history, and the Europeans were on top of the world, the white people were on top of the world, every spot on earth practically was in one way or another dominated by Europeans at some point during the past couple of hundred years. I mean, China might say, well, we weren't, but they kind of were. And yet, who's doing better now? The white people who had conquered the entire world? No, they're getting wiped out. The Chinese people who never had any overseas colonies, they're doing just fine. So would they want to repeat what the Europeans had done and conquer the world? Or would they want to try something different? If I were them, I would want to try something different. And it seems what they're doing is trying to build a trading empire that they're already by far the world's largest industrial country. Their industrial output is greater than all the G7 countries combined, and they're securing both resources from overseas and markets overseas through this Belt and Road, which is mainly marine. It's mainly a sea route, but also land routes. A sea is just a lot cheaper. And, you know, the Chinese industrial capacity is located on the coast and on rivers. So that's more convenient for them anyway. But they are securing land routes through the old Silk Road, headed towards Europe, headed towards the Middle East, so that even if they were to be cut off going through, say, the China Seas or the Straits of Malacca or the South China Sea, they could still reach places. So, you know, there's a lot of redundancy built into this Belt and Road.
And I wanted to jump in here with this before we end the show. Would this necessitate an alliance with Israel as far as the land route goes through the greater Israel?
Here's the thing. Israel is on the only land route between the only land route that connects Asia with Africa. So there's that. But then on the other hand, how important is a land route from Asia to Africa? Because most of the trade from Africa is going to be coming by sea. You know, there's a lot on Africa's got an Indian Ocean coast. And then the Red Sea connects the Indian Ocean through the Suez Canal to the Mediterranean. So really, how important is that land route? It's better than nothing. It's a bargaining chip, but it's not a blue chip. It's probably not even maybe it's a red chip. Maybe it's a white chip. It's not a blue chip.
Well, what I can definitely see is as Western hegemony collapses and Russia and China dominate Eurasia, I think the Jews are sticking their finger in the wind, figuring out which way the wind's blowing, and they'll make an alliance. I mean, you can bet, and which is going to piss off the Jews in the diaspora. Your Victoria Nulands, your Blinkens, your myocarditis. I mean, they're all, you know.
Myocarditis.
Mayorkas.
Oh, Mayorkas. Okay.
I'm just naming the three most powerful Jews I could think of. Garland's another one. I mean, these are the Jews. You talk about who's running the West. I think those names are who's running it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Nuland at the top, but it's going to piss them off, especially if Putin is still in power and Israel makes an alliance with Russia. And I asked the question, is Israel getting into BRICS? And you said that those talks might be out there.
Well, we'll have to talk about that on the next episode, which we're about to record. Everybody in Radioland, if you're listening live, you're going to have to tune in tomorrow. If you're listening on archive, just head on over to the part two on National Bugle. So, anyway, this is your show, so it's up to you to sign off.
We're signing off, man. Check the Bugle out 1 p.m. Central on Wednesday. Be there or be a big 400-pound flaming tranny queer. Stay classy, Patrick.
I see that.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023. At antelopehillpublishing.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.